CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer as we wrap up this week. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour and a half as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? Well, where you will find it in the Bible is here on Sunday morning. We want to invite you, no matter where you're at, listening in the world, across the United States, on the CSN stations, to tune in to us Sunday morning Mountain Time at 10:30 here on the radio for River Christian Fellowship Sunday morning service. We're going through the book of Genesis, and we're looking at the life of Joseph. And so want to tune in for that. I think you'll really be blessed. And so if you're in the Southern Idaho area, we'd like to invite you here in person. And that's this Sunday at 10 o'clock. And so just follow the signs to Shoshone Falls. It'll bring you right to the church. So we want to just want you to know you're welcome to come. Fellowship, tune in on the radio if you're unable to come in person, 10:30 Mountain Time. And again, going through the book of Genesis, the life of Joseph. Such amazing parallels between Jesus and Joseph as we look at that up close. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker here on Sunday, Voice of Truth, 3 o'clock. Hi and welcome, Shannon.
Hi, thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
It's a blessing to have you with us. Look forward to answering some questions with you. And so once again, we want to encourage you to give us a call. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. Now, this Sunday, Shannon, as you always interview different guests, who's your guest this week?
Mike Netter is my guest this week, and Mike Netter was the gentleman, one of the gentlemen who founded the Recall Gavin 2020 .com. We all know about Gavin Newsom. He is not shy in the media for his tyrannical way that he attempts to run California as a governor, and his deep pockets and his relations with Pelosi and Jerry Brown and many other people. But this gentleman has decided that he's going to take it upon himself to really make change in the great state of California, and to do that through a recall. It's an amazing interview. There's a lot of information and knowledge that I think we can all learn from as far as our rights as individuals, California citizen rights, our national rights as American citizens, and then also how we can carry out petitions and make change in our country from the small scale, individually in our community, all the way up to nationally. So I would listen and tune in this Sunday. Following Sunday after that, which will be February 14th, Valentine's Day, I will be doing a commentary on the COVID-19 vaccine. So stay tuned.
On the ever-so-changing.
Ever-so-changing vaccine.
COVID-19, yeah.
It should be a doozy. And then Jack Kibbs is on the February 21st for all of you that listen to Jack Kibbs at Chino Hills Calvary Chapel. He will be on with me on the 21st. We're trying to work on getting him here on TEMA. So.
Yeah. Real good. Look forward to that. Well, with that, we will go ahead and go to the phones. We have John on the line in Greenbrier, Michigan, I believe it is. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. How may we help?
So me, my wife, her friend, and all of our kids were wanting to start a Bible study group. I work on the weekends, so I don't get a chance to go to church on Sundays, but I have had the pleasure of watching you on Sundays, so that's good. But my question was, since I don't have a degree and I would be the only major male influence there, it's not like I would be just telling them what, you know, we're all trying to get more versed in the Bible.
Sure.
Is it okay if I lead it, or do we have to, or do I need to find somebody who's more versed in it?
No, I believe that if God's called you, then you're the one God wants. And you'll know that by the fruit in your ministry. We are not called to have PhDs and doctorate of divinities and these different pieces of paper that hang on the wall. what we're told by Jesus to do is go preach the gospel to every creature. If you look at the disciples, none of them had really any formal religious training other than what they got from Jesus. And I think this is really an amazing thing. You find Matthew Levi, he was a Roman, he was a Jewish a tax collector. You find James and John, sons of Zebedee, they were actually anarchists. They were revolutionaries in the day. I can't imagine the campfires around when in the evening, Matthew talking with those two, but that's another thought. But you look at all these. You have the Peter and the others that were fishermen. These are people that just ordinary people that God used, as it was primarily all the way through the Bible. So I really don't look for a degree on the wall. I look for the anointing of God. And I believe that, again, you can find many, many places all the way through the scripture where God used the most unseeming person to do God's great work, whether you're looking at Gideon in the Old Testament, or really whether you're looking at Paul, who was really on the other side of the fence, killing Christians until God changed his life on the road to Damascus. And so God just does that. And I think the reason God does that is because then everybody looks and goes, wow, the reason they're so effective in their ministry is, look at, they went to the first school of the good, and look at those 20 diplomas hanging on the wall with those shiny gold seals. Or was it just, wow, God's anointing's on this person. We know that it can't be him, and God gets the glory. I genuinely believe, John, that that's the way God works. And no, I would just say, go preach the gospel. Do what Daddy's called you to do. You've got CSN there to help. I would strongly recommend using blueletterbible.org, which is a really good place to go. Go up into the upper, at the very top of the page. When you go there, you'll see helps. Go there, and then you'll find written commentaries. And I would look at Chuck Smith's, look at David Gusick's, look at James Fawcett and Brown is good. Matthew Henry is one of my favorites as well. But you've got not only a perspective from the 1700s, but you've also got perspectives that are only a couple of years old of the Bible. And I really like David Gusick. You'll hear him oftentimes here on CSN and the college that they currently use. And you can get that information simply by just going to blueletterbible.org. A lot of great information there on all the Christian faith, what we're doing. But if you go there, you'll find those free commentaries, and they'll really help you. And I always tell people, when you teach the Bible. Somebody asked me one time, what else would you teach? And as I heard it said once, a lot of junk. That's what I tell people, too. You want to go back and teach the Word of God. Shannon, any last thoughts?
No, I agree fully. You don't have to be decorated with different degrees and knowledge and skills in theology to teach the Word of God. I think that if you go into it with a humble heart and the understanding of your Bible study is that, you know, God has called you to do this, you're learning too. It could be open discussion format, but you can lead it. I think that there's blessings in that, and I think more people should start home fellowships. After all, at some point in time, that might be the only way we get church. And so to be encouraged and to do that, I think will bless you tremendously. And there's, like Mike said, there's tons of great resources for you. There's CDs, DVDs, you can pop a video in, you can watch it and discuss it and research things together. And definitely the Spirit of God will move, and hopefully you'll be edified. So,
yeah. So I hope that helps, John.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Great. Show your Bible study. I think those will all be things that will be used for evangelism for you. So may the Lord just expand your horizons. And Father, may you just give him the right words to say. May you anoint him in Jesus' name. Amen. John, we'll look for God to do great things. Stay in line. We'll get you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. If you need any help, please call us. Call me. We're here for you. With that, we will go to Angie in New Jersey. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. I have a question for you. I was in junior high when this happened. Our history teacher was promoting the Ouija board as a game.
Yes.
Okay. In school. And I know after what I had experienced that this was not a good thing. I went to a teacher who, it was very obvious that she was a believer in the Lord. And I asked her if there was any way I could get my relationship right with Jesus. And she told me, no, there's absolutely no way you can get right with the Lord after that.
And that's absolutely not true, dear.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. The Lord and I, we are like tight now, you know, thank God. I just wondered if that was Calvinism or if I misunderstood.
No, I think that was gas and indigestion. I'm not exactly sure. But for somebody to say that, you know, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And two, for any Christian at times in their life, or even as a non-Christian, to be sidetracked by the occult or those kinds of things doesn't mean they're lost forever. It just simply means they need to repent. And that's why it tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, perhaps the person you talked to was either a very new Christian or maybe not a Christian at all and didn't understand the forgiveness of God. And that's a real tragedy to give advice concerning the greatness of God when you don't know what you're talking about. But the Bible, in fact, does say that we can be forgiven. And I believe as long as there's breath in an individual's life, he can repent and call upon the name of the Lord and he'll be saved. Shannon.
I agree fully. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who do things like that and cause a lot of damage, especially to people in their walk. So I'm glad to hear, Angie, that you're strong with the Lord. And as you say, you're tight. That's a good thing. I agree with Mike. I don't think it has to do with any particular sect of Christianity, like Calvinism or anything like that. I think it's just bad information and a lack of understanding of the God that maybe she worshipped, because the God that I worship and the God of the Bible and Jesus represented in the Gospels is the complete opposite of that. He's very long-suffering, he's loving, he's full of mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and indeed he died on the cross for us so that we can all be redeemed. So I don't know what that came from in her, but it definitely wasn't appropriate, and I'm glad that you were able to see that through.
And surely the problem there is that it did affect you, evidently, or you wouldn't be calling and even mentioning it all these years later, which I believe is one of the great purposes of false doctrine, is to trip people up. And that certainly, Angie, was false. I hope that helps, dear.
Yeah, that resolves that. And I had one other little quick thing. When you guys were answering the question the other day about people who are, oh, can we take the mark and still go to heaven? We all know that's wrong.
Right.
It ain't gonna happen. But what dropped into my head was how Esau sold his birthright for a meal.
Yeah.
And I was just, that just blew me away, because I know God stuck it in my head to show me this is what people are going to do because they're so desperate, you know.
Good observation, Angie. That's true, that people, because their appetite is their own self, what they want, self-driven, self-motivated, they will take the holy things of God and tread them underfoot. And this is really essentially what Esau did. And Esau had real no regard for God at all. In fact, the Bible tells us that for, you know, his parents, they were very, very grieved. Isaac was, you know, they were very troubled because, him taking pagan wives, and they realized that this was going to take his heart away from God, and in fact it did. But that was even, that was after he sold the birthright. So he had no desire to come and be any part of God. And it's really interesting to me that people will compromise their faith for, you know, an unsaved spouse or in their dating or whatever. They, I know I shouldn't be going out with them, but, you know, they're really cute. And, you know, well, no, you're compromising yourself for and what God has best for you for your own personal satisfaction. This is why the Bible says when we come to Christ that we die to ourselves. Now, dying to yourself is not a fun thing. I really want that, but I know I've got to do what God wants me to do instead. You'll find that all the way through. Shannon, any last thoughts?
Well, also, it reminds me of Joseph in the Bible and his leadership during the famine where people were perishing or worried that they were going to perish because of the famine, and he was purchasing up all the land associated with that. And people, if you read in Genesis 47, were not only were they selling him their land, but they were willing to sell their servitude for food. And, you know, they became enslaved at that point. And so you can even see how the Bible gives us a little prelude to potentially what might happen in the end. And if you look in the book of Revelation, there's going to be famine, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be death. You can see how easily people would not only just sell their land or maybe their possessions so they may live and not die, but they're even willing to sell themselves so that they might live. So it was a great observation. Hopefully that helps.
Amen. Hope that helps.
Yeah, I just wanted to run that by you guys and share it with others just in case it would help them understand the Word of God. And I had a gentleman come up to me and said, "You're going to marry me." I said, "No, I'm not."
Oh, I've had that a few times.
He's so funny because he grabs my arm, and I used my self-defense tactics I learned through a school. And he just didn't know what to do with himself. And I said, "What do you believe?" And he was like, "What?" I said, "What do you believe?" I said, "Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" I gave him the whole gospel. He stepped back. He goes, "You sound like my ex-wife." I said, "Well, I think she was right."
There you go, Angie. Yeah, he comes up and thinks you're supposed to marry him, and then you
submit him.
Yeah, there you go. Angie, stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy. Show them to your friends and those that come up and grab your arm. I think you'll like that. Stay in line, dear. We'll get you taken care of. And with that, we'll go to Dennis, Rupert, Idaho.
Hi, you guys. I'm a longtime listener and second-time caller. And I was thinking here the other day, and I thought, well, I'm going to check with Mike, see what he thinks about this question I have. And I like to think I'm somewhat familiar with Revelations, the book of Revelation. And the question that I have is, you know, that when Satan is thrown into the fiery pit, what is the timeline, or how long does that fiery pit, or does it move to when God creates the new earth and the new heaven? What happens to that fiery pit?
Well, it's interesting. In the book of Jude, there's only one chapter, chapter one, and I'll just read this to you because I think it's really important. As Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, living in a manner to these, lifestyles, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In the Greek, it means forever. So when does the fiery pit end? It doesn't. Everybody living today, everybody exists forever somewhere. The Bible says to those that are raised, sins are forgiven and found in him, they're raised to eternal life. And the others are raised to eternal damnation. There is no such thing as annihilation. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach this. Well, you're just, you know, flashbang and you're gone. Nope, that's not what the Bible teaches. Again, the book of Jude, very clear on this, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I believe if it was annihilation, Jesus would have never given up all of heaven to come down and redeem man from an eternal lake of fire. I believe that, again, well, you didn't make it too bad. That's just the way it is. But when you realize how bad hell really is, and that hell really wasn't designed for human beings, it was designed for Lucifer and the fallen angels. But if mankind wants to enter into the same rebellion against God as they do, God is fully justified, and justice required would get the same punishment. So therefore, this is why I believe that, again, as it says in Jude, the vengeance of eternal fire. There's a couple other verses where it says where the worm never ceases, and fire quenches not. There's verses that explain the eternity of life after this life. And again, some to everlasting resurrection in Jesus, not because you were religious. Religious won't buy you anything, but because your sins were forgiven and you accepted Christ as your Savior. That's what allows us to go into heaven. Yes, we'll be rewarded in heaven by what we did here on this earth with the right motives. But we go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for us, and we've accepted that fact. Jesus said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And the thing is, that's the only condition. Do you want to? And once we have made that decision, the Bible says we pass from death unto life. And instead of having our past haunt us for all of eternity, God lays an axe to the root, and we begin new. As King David said, his promises are new every morning. Shannon.
There are people out there, though, that are called conditionalists that do not believe eternal means eternal in the Bible. And so that's where people get confused. They think that it comes with a condition that the soul is not inherently immortal. And because these people obviously didn't choose eternal life, then therefore eternal is not forever. And that's just not true. As Mike said, there's so many references from Mark 9:48, which he had mentioned, where their wormeth dieth not, the fire is not quenched, to Jude, and so many more. So you can see that the Bible just doesn't support that theory. But if you do a word study and you look at the word eternal, or you look at the word fire, you will find over 100 references to fire burning up everything and or being in the eternal day of judgment eternally. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, hope that helps, Dennis.
I might have led you down the wrong track on my question. I believe that damnation is eternal.
Right.
And I would just, if God destroys the earth, well, I'm assuming that he destroys the earth, because I think it says that. But if, like, the fiery pit is in the center of the earth, if the earth is destroyed, I guess I'm thinking, where's hell going to move to?
Well, it is interesting you ask that question, and the Bible does tell us, and it's found in Revelation. Let's see here. I'm just turning to it right now. Revelation 22 is where it's found. And it says, and it talks about the New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. It describes it all and everything, where our eternal home is going to be, the river of life and all these things. But then it goes on and it says, now this is on the other side of the millennial reign of Christ. This is where the New Jerusalem has come down. This is the saints' eternal home. This is where we'll forever live with the Lord. But outside, verse 15, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now he goes on and he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things. So we know then that the eternal punishment outside of this great protected place that God has made for us, there is going to be this ongoing torment that goes on. They are not going to be in the New Jerusalem. It's interesting when it says outside, how far outside is that? I don't know. It's very possible that Sheol, where people die right now, as Jesus described with the rich man and Lazarus, they may very well go, as the Bible says, I believe, into the earth somewhere. Some cavern, something. I don't know. But that's where it says they go. But the eternal lake of fire is a different place. The eternal lake of fire is not in the center of the earth. And we know this is where the Antichrist, the beast, and those, as the Bible says, who have taken the mark of the beast, this is where they go, into this eternal lake of fire. I do not believe that's in the center of the earth. I believe Sheol is this waiting place in torment, in fire, but waiting the great white throne judgment when a person's works have come to full fruition. Like I've told people before, some guy starts a cult. Maybe there was 27 members when he died. Now there might be millions. I believe that person is going to be judged horribly throughout all of eternity for that. You think of the dictators and the tetrarchs down through society that never repented. It isn't that they just killed one or two. Joseph Stalin, 20 million. Mao Zedong, 30 to 50 million people he killed. There's going to be a great judgment. But you see, the Bible says that any sin will carry eternal punishment. So I really believe that, again, this lake of fire is a very interesting thing, where if we put these verses together, in the lake of fire is where the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and those that love to lie, that's where they're going to be. So when we look at this, I believe that we can see that the lake of fire would be pretty hard to be in the center of the earth, since the Bible says it's going to melt with a fervent heat, as well as the heavens right now as we know them, because he's going to make at the end of the millennial reign of Christ all things new, and that's where we're going to dwell with him forever. I hope that helps.
Oh, it helps quite a bit. It's kind of like, you stated that you answered it very well, and I know Sheol, and I just kind of wondered what happened when the New Jerusalem and the New...
You want to look at Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, sexual immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, and that is the second death. That's, again, Revelation 22:8. And so it speaks of this place, and it is somewhere. I don't believe it's in the center of the earth, because this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. God's going to make a brand new one. And the longer we go, the more I see how badly we need a new heavens and an earth. Just see that. Stay in line. We'll get you fixed up with a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Dennis, glad you called in. Good question. We'll have more right after these messages. We'll be right back.
8 Sour is a place of high ground, a point of security where a guard sees the enemy advancing and alerts the troops. As CSN, our towers send out the message of the gospel, educating and preparing you for the advances of the enemy. You can be a tower keeper and help keep CSN on the air. A monthly donation of any amount can make this possible. Give us a call at 800-357-4226 or go online to csnradio.com for more instructions.
We want CSN to be a radio station where you feel welcome. No matter where you've been, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter where you go to church, and even if you don't, this is your station. Please make yourself at home, because you're welcome here. And we hope that CSN will be a blessing to you and your family, and that you'll tell a friend.
This is the Christian Satellite Network, broadcasting on almost 400 stations throughout the U.S., including multiple stations in Arizona alone. You can listen in great Arizona cities like Bullhead City, Phoenix, Yuma, Prescott, Cottonwood, and many more stations throughout Arizona and across the nation. A full station list is at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
You are the king. CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week with Shannon Skolden. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Our last caller, once again, was asking, what happens to hell? Well, we talked about the lake of fire, which burns forever. Interesting verse that Shannon pointed out in chapter 20 of Revelation, and this is in verse 14 for our last caller and everybody listening, and it says, then death and Hades, or hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So very interesting. You combine these verses with the verse in the book of Jude, as well as the other verses. You find that this lake of fire, not in the center of the earth, it is somewhere outside of the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven after the thousand-year reign of Christ. And again, that's why the Bible says preach the gospel to every creature. Because, you see, there's a lot at stake by not accepting Christ as your Savior. And people say, well, I don't believe you got to accept Christ. I can live my life the way I want. I just got one thing to say. You got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky?
Well, how did I know you're going to do that, boys?
Well, the point is, the thing is, if you're wrong, man, you've got everything gambling on a lie. See, for us, hey, listen, if it ain't true, well, I did the best I could because I know my trust is in Christ. I did what the Bible said I'm supposed to do. But everybody else, they're listening to, you know, some TV talk show host, or they're getting their information from some tabloid. They're getting their information from call 1-800. Our psychics are the best. You know, I mean, they got all these crazy things out there. And rather, you can go right to God and find out what he says. You want to know how God's going to judge the earth someday? Read the Bible. That's what the Bible's about. I think that's why a lot of churches don't want to read the Bible on Sunday morning. They don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I would rather have people feel uncomfortable and get right with God and know they're going to heaven than just give them a Jesus placebo in their pocket, another Jesus, a Jesus that's a Santa Claus. Yeah, that's it. That gives me everything I want whenever I want it. I just use my magic mumbo jumbo faith words and it's all mine, baby. What's wrong with that? It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we come to the cross and die. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. You see, that doesn't set well with a me generation, does it? Well, these churches placate that. And so really, when we realize that repentance is the key ingredient in accepting Christ. This is one of the things when I lead people to Christ. I talk about repentance because it's important. It isn't that, hey, I'm going to add Jesus in with all the other junk I'm doing. The Bible says we need to repent. Well, a lot of times people don't know how to repent. But I know once Jesus and the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, that old Holy Ghost is going to come along and say, hey, this thing that's always been bothering your life, you've been doing, yeah, it is wrong. You need to get it out of your life. Hey, you know when you used to think about this? What if I keep going down this path? What will happen to me? Will I get an incurable disease, or will I die, or will I get in the wrong crowd and somebody will shoot me or kill me? Yeah, see, the Holy Spirit begins to talk to us and lead us out of darkness. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so when we're sold out to him, God's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. And the Bible says, for his name's sake. Not for my name's sake. Isn't that great news? But for his name's sake. It's God's good pleasure to see you do good. Wow. That's great. And that's why we got something to talk about. It isn't just fire insurance and the sweet by and by. It's that right now, God's got a plan, purpose for your life. And say, hey, Lord, if I got a week to live, if I got a day to live, or 50 years, I'm going to live for you as long as I can and do what I can do for your kingdom. What a great promise that we have from him. Let's go ahead and go back to the phones. We have Kim on the line, Grants Pass, Oregon. Hi, welcome. Hello, Kim. Kim, are you there? I don't know where Kim is at. Well, Kim, if you call us back, we'll put you back on. With that, we'll go to Pete in Oklahoma City. Hi, welcome.
Okay.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how may we help?
My question is that I've noticed that the Messianic Jewish population has exploded in the last 40 years. There were no Messianic Jews in the world, and now we have a population of around 600,000. out of 15 million Jews in the entire world. Is there any kind of a biblical or scriptural reason for this remarkable growth?
I believe that in the last days,
accepting Jesus as Savior. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that in the last days, God pours His Spirit out on all flesh, and just as there's been the Gentiles coming to the Lord, I believe also the Jewish people. You know, they begin and see the thing is, you have to remember too, that for many, many eons, I mean, like centuries, the Jewish faith was relatively confined to a very close-knit group. You see this sometimes on TV talking about the Jewish communities in New York City and different things like this, where it's very, very, well, now that there's the advent of the internet, now that there's the advent of massive communications, people are exposed to things. And, you know, when you're in the Jewish faith, as an example, and you don't believe in Christ, but then you start looking at the parallels between Jesus and Joseph. Or you start looking at Isaiah chapter 53 or Psalms 22, and where you have this a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, which was unbelievable. In fact, there's no explanation for Psalms 22 unless it's speaking of Messiah hanging on a cross. When you look at Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. And upon him, God laid the iniquity of us all. That doesn't speak of a king coming in on a white horse, smashing the Roman government off their shoulders like they dreamed of. Because God knew, Jesus knew, that the problem was with the Jewish people. They had a spiritual problem. That's why the very first place he went as their king, there on that Palm Sunday, when he descended from the Mount of Olives, he went into the temple. He didn't go down to Herod's palace or Pilate's or anybody else and say, hey, you're out of here, dude. We're taking over. This is a coup de grace and you're gone. No, he didn't do that. He went to the temple. Why? Because until the spiritual issue is fixed in a nation, the rest of it is not going to be fixed. Sound a little familiar about us? Well, that's what the problem was. It was their day of salvation. When Jesus looked at the city as he's ready to descend there on that Palm Sunday, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would gather you, but you would not. It was their day of salvation, but they missed it. And that was so sad because, again, a week later, not even a week later, they crucified him. You see, this is the problem that we run into when we see this. And so I believe that the veil of pride in the Jewish nations, well, we're God's chosen people. We can be as wicked and nasty as we want because we inherit our righteousness from Abraham and Moses. No, you didn't. Every person stands before God on their own 2 feet like appendages. And they're going to give an account of God to God about their life and what that means. So I think that the advent of the internet, I think the advent of communications, I believe the advent of teaching God's word has had a movement as well as a quickening and a stirring and God's Spirit being poured upon people in the last days. Your thoughts?
Very well said. I actually have nothing to add to that, Mike.
Hope that
you did it again.
I hope
you
that answers it, Pete.
Yeah, it does pretty much. The other thing that I noticed also is that I think I saw one of those Pew reports that studied the millennial Jews, and I believe that the statistic is 26% of these younger Jewish millennials now believe that Jesus is a Messiah.
Yeah, it's true, because I think what has happened, I think dead orthodoxy, and this is what I think Jesus was talking about when he said the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. There's nothing that'll kill you faster than the letter of the law. When you go through and you see the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments were never written by God to justify man. It was meant to show man how desperately he needed a Savior. And this is why we call the gospel, and what the word gospel means, is the good news that we go to heaven because God's good, not because we are. That Jesus fulfilled the commandment requirements for us to go to heaven. Because we could never be good in ourselves. In fact, when the Gentiles started getting saved halfway through the book of Acts, and they went back with the report, and they said, well, what commandments, what rules are we going to put the Gentiles under? since none of our fathers could keep them. Wow, that's pretty intense, isn't it? And of course, you know, abstaining from meat sacrificed to idols, sexual immorality, these things were the things that they listed. But that's also for just your well-being. And I believe that this is what God is. But we go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. And this is why I get so angry with these different groups out there. Well, you got to worship on Saturday like we do. The truth of the matter is, I don't know one group, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, that keep the Sabbath. They get in a building on a Saturday. But friends, that is not keeping the Sabbath. The Bible is explicitly clear on how you keep the Sabbath. You can't travel so far from your house. You can't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. You can't make anybody else work on the Sabbath as well. So again, they get in a wreck going to Sabbath meeting on a Saturday morning. They don't lay there in the intersection until sundown and call the paramedics. No, because you make them work. You see, so they don't keep the Sabbath. Well, we keep it ritualistically. No, you're keeping it according to your own interpretation, and that's what got everybody in the Bible in trouble. You either keep it or you don't. Or you take what Jesus said, and he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and our Saturday requirement is fulfilled in him. By the way, Sabbath worship was not a covenant with the Gentiles. It was a covenant to the Jewish people. Now, that's a real important thing because, again, when the Gentiles began to get saved, there was no requirement found in what rules are we going to bring the Gentiles under. Sabbath worship was not one of them, or not eating pork was one of them. See, these are the problems. But they don't keep the Sabbath. They get in a building, but that's certainly not keeping the Sabbath by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of younger people, and again, because of the internet, because of the exposure, I think that a lot of them have seen the inconsistencies and how we could never really fulfill what God wanted in the Old Testament. And who is this one predicted the Messiah that would come to take away the sins of the world? And I think this is why you're seeing God's Spirit being poured out, a quickening in their heart, an openness to hear Christ. And I think a lot of the younger people are seeing maybe some of the inconsistencies in traditional religion, and not just in Judaism, but I believe in a lot of the cults as well. So I believe this is really a quick, your thoughts.
No, I agree. And you know, the Bible does talk about the Jewish people being regathered in unbelief, yes, from the four corners of the earth. So as Mike said, this is just, you know, as we get closer to the end and as things become, they amp up more to be fulfilled in prophecy, and we could say that this is currently being fulfilled, it's not in completion yet, we're going to see more and more Jews give their lives to the Lord. And I think it's something that's exciting, and I think there's a lot of ministries that really go out on a limb and they really focus on the Jewish people and the Jewish community to witness to them, and it's a beautiful thing because they are God's chosen. So, you know, again, I think it's just something that's happening. It's going to happen at a greater, more exponential pace, more rapidly. And again, I agree with Mike, you know, when certain aspects of religion are dead and the power of God and the Spirit of God is moving, especially in a young generation that seeks that spiritual connection and that spiritual influence and the power, and that's why a lot of people get into weird witchcraft and things like that, because they want to assume some kind of supernatural power. The power of God is that and so much more. It's very interesting for young people, and it's more relational. And so it's not just ritualistic. It's not saying certain chants or doing certain traditions. It's relationship, and obviously relationship wins over religion. So thanks for your call.
Pete, hope that helps.
So they're actually, even though they do follow the Jewish customs and Yom Kippur and Hanukkah and all of that, as long as they believe in Jesus, that he is the Messiah and a way to the Father, I think salvation is still for them too.
Amen. And that's what the Bible says. And for some, you know, they need that in the way they were raised. But nevertheless, if their faith and hope and trust is in Jesus Christ, look at all the Jewish believers that were at the time right after Jesus ascended to heaven. the church was comprised of Jewish people, clear up to about halfway through the book of Acts. And I love that term, when they realized that Gentiles could also be saved. Whoa, right? Mighty revelation. These guys that were so spirit-filled and so walking in, with God and so in touch with the Spirit didn't even know that Jesus was for everyone till halfway through the book of Acts. But the point is this. Yes, there was a lot of Jewish people, and there was a lot of people that went to... And by the way, I want to clarify something. If you worship on Saturday, there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't wish to put anybody down. But worshiping on Sunday is not a sin. And people to say, well, if you don't worship on Saturday, it's the mark of the beast. That is pure, full-on heresy. The early church met on Sunday. It says, when you come together on the first day of the week. Very clear. But they don't want to read that. They want to read their own stuff in. But that doesn't mean you can't worship on Saturday. In fact, if you're a paramedic, a cop, a doctor, or something like this, your day of worship, your day of rest might be Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday. But I do believe there's one day a week we ought to cease from our work and enjoy what God has given us. Because if we don't, we'll either work our life away or party our life away, neither of which is what God wants. Pete, stay on the line. We'll fix you up with a couple of DVDs, a couple of books, okay?
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. There was one of these Messianic Jews made a comment. He said that the Jews for 30 years in the Old Testament wandered around before they get to the Promised Land. And then here they wandered for 2,000 years before coming back to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? Amazing. If you want to do an interesting study, anybody listening, it just seems like they have to be told twice. And in fact, if you go to that sermon that Stephen gives in the book of Acts, he goes into this, that it had to be twice before they'd recognize who Jesus was. And I believe that, again, at the second coming of Christ, when they look upon him whom they have pierced, and they'll mourn for him like they would mourn for an only son. And what I mean, what I believe by that mourning is that, oh, look at what we did wrong all those millennia. I believe that's the mourning that it's speaking of there as Jesus sets up his, comes to begin in the beginning to set up his millennial reign here on this earth. So, Pete, stay aligned. We'll fix you up with a couple books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that, okay?
Okay, thanks very much.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. 8888 Ask CSN's the number call. If you want to be part of the program today, we're going to go to Nancy in Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And Shannon.
Hi.
Hi, I just want to tell you, I'm a fairly new listener. I don't get a whole lot of time, but I love listening to y'all on the way to work. And then when I get there, I park and I sit and listen some more. And today I wanted to just call in and tell you thank you for being such a blessing in so many people's lives.
Well, God is good, dear. He gets the glory. And,
amen to that.
Yes,
so
yes.
How may we help?
So there was a caller a little while ago talking about Esau selling his birthright. And I just had a thought on that as well, on the Mark of the Beast, where I believe, and I want your thoughts on this on both of y'all, that there, you know, when that time comes, when it's clear, and I believe, you know, it's not going to be hidden in some agenda, we're going to know it's the mark. And we decide to take it or not. There's going to be families who are, you know, they're responsible for their family, their children. And, you know, the Bible clearly says that without the mark, you know, it's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to buy or sell. And so I'm thinking, you know, in some cases, you know, they'll be pressured to by their families to take care of them. So the only way they can do it is to take the mark. And yet, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, loving him more than father, mother, you know, sister, brother, children. So, you know, there's going to be like a line in the sand sort of thing. You're unfortunately not going to be able to feed your family if that comes down to it, if you decide that Jesus is who you stand for. So I'm thinking, you know, as far as that goes, you believe that's going to take a lot of people off that narrow path.
Well, the Bible tells us that, you know, live as Christ, as die as gain. So I don't know. God may very well supernaturally provide for people during that time that didn't take the mark. But we also know for sure that there's going to be those that are going to betray one another. In fact, Jesus spoke of this in Luke 21:16, where he said, "You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death." Now, I believe what that is speaking of there, and of course, Luke chapter 21, as well as Matthew chapter 24, are these really big sermons on end times that Jesus gave. But I believe the betrayal comes in many different ways. When they outlaw Christians, and for a ransom or a reward, you'll tell where your Christian parents are or whatever, so they'll get a reward. I believe that it might very well be possible that those that won't take the mark, there'll be those who have the mark that will betray the whereabouts of those who do. But it's very, very important here to realize that during the last days, and this is again what Luke 21 is about, verse 16, people will think nothing, even in the nepotismal world of family members, to betray them and to bring them to death. And I think that's a real important part to realize, that during those times, people aren't, they're not committed to anybody. They're just living for themselves like a bunch of animals. And it tells me that not only was moral conscience long gone, but it also tells me that even family love is at that point pretty much extinguished. Again, Luke 21:16, your thoughts.
You know, also, the Bible says in Revelation, if anyone worships the beast in the image and receives the mark on their forehead or hand, they will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath, and they will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels of the Lamb. So we know that those who receive the mark are going to suffer a horrific death. We all know that they go to hell. There's no redemption at that point, and there's conjecture to why that is. And we also know that there will be those who are beheaded for their faith. In Revelation 20, it states in verse 4, "Then I saw the thrones and those seated on them that had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their forehead and hands. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there will be those who choose not to receive the mark of the beast because they have either decided to follow Christ or they know the truth, and they're going to be beheaded. I don't necessarily know how many people will be able to run and escape at that point and, you know, quote, survive off the land, as you hear a lot in churches nowadays, because there's going to be such destruction, such famine, such pestilence, such death, that people are going to willingly line up to receive this mark so that they can survive. But people will turn their family in, as Mike said. They will. The Bible states it, that brother and sister will turn against another, one another. Sister or daughter will turn against a mother, and will also turn against father. And that's in Matthew 10:21, where it specifically states, brother will betray brother to death and father to his child, and children will rise against their parents and put them to death. So it's going to be a tumultuous time. I try to refrain from using the word we, as you did in your question, because the pre-tribulation rapture is the stance that we take, that as believers that we will be removed, harpazos, rapturos, out of here prior to the time where we have to receive, or people have to receive, the mark of the beast. We look at Revelation in a chronological timeline from beginning to end, using context clues and third grade literature skills, that it's actually in order. And so the church is not mentioned after Revelation 4. So therefore, it's not going to be a decision the church has to make, but those who are left behind will have to make, and there will be people who are left behind who have heard the gospel, who know and understand what's happening, who will give their lives to the Lord. And the Bible does mention that in the book of Revelation. So our job as believers is to make sure we witness and we preach the gospel again as much as possible, to be salt and light to the earth, so that we can hopefully prevent, one, people from having to go through this, but number two, that they would be able to, if they are left behind and they make a decision not to choose Christ, that maybe they will be one of the ones in the end who will lead people to Christ during that time. So hopefully that helps.
Hope that helps.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you for your input.
Thank
Nancy,
you.
God bless you. Stay in life if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Pete, Oklahoma City. Hi and welcome.
No, I'm already.
Oh, sorry, Pete. Pete, I'm looking for those check arrows on the thing, and it gets me. Let's go to Kim, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Okay, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Okay, I wanted to thank you for maintaining the last format for freedom of speech in the United States, which is talk radio.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for maintaining it. I hope you stay on the air forever. And the other thing I want to talk about is, are you familiar with the Thomas Jefferson Red Bible?
No.
Somebody had mentioned that to me, so I went to the library, and there was this red book written by Thomas Jefferson on all the moral teachings of Jesus Christ. And according to Thomas Jefferson in the book, he said that Jesus was the greatest moral teacher of all time, although Thomas Jefferson couldn't accept his practical mind, couldn't accept the divinity of Jesus.
Right.
He accepted all his moral teachings, and he studied from that book every day of his life.
Sure. This is where they got... a lot of the foundational principles of what good government is. Our government, our laws, the system of beliefs that we have were founded upon something, not the kooky junk that Karl Marx came up with, but upon Jesus Christ, that we are endowed by a creator. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, Kim. We'll be back for more right after this.
Hi friends, Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University. Happy New Year to you. Does a fresh start, a new beginning, behold, I'll do a new thing, seem like something the Lord's doing in your life this year? Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today. At Calvary Chapel University, our new thing is we're fully accredited. You can go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to earn your fully accredited college degree. Calvary Chapel University is also 100% online. What that means for you is you can take your CCU classes anytime, anywhere, any place on your terms. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to earn your fully accredited 100% online convenient college degree. You're looking for sound doctrine? David Guzik's a board member and Pastor Skip Heitzig is a faculty member. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today. Oh, one other thing. If you apply now, you get a 30% tuition scholarship. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com.
CSN has a new Android app. If you've got an Android smart device, all you have to do is visit Google Play and search for CSN. You'll see the new app. Download and install it for free, then listen to CSN in a whole new way. With great new options, including social media sharing, the playlist, and an alarm clock, you'll love this great free app. Visit csnradio.com/listen for more information, then hop on Google Play and load the new free CSN app.
In these days of financial instability, we as Christians need to pull together to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread throughout the world. Here at CSN, we are a listener-supported ministry and need your help. If you have been blessed by what you hear on the radio, please send us a tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, zip code 83303. Again, that is P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. Or go online to csnradio.com. Help us as we continue to spread the gospel.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. A full station list is available through csnradio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
we want to welcome you back to part two, or part three, I guess it is, of Every Man an Answer on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week. Once again, we want to remind you, tune in River Christian Fellowship here. I'll be teaching out of the book of Genesis this Sunday morning at 10:30 on CSN stations, Mountain Time. Just adjust your time for your own location and around the world. And we're going through the book of Genesis, looking at the life of Joseph and how interesting it parallels the life of Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at that. Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. So it's really great to be able to look at the Old Testament and see how powerful it is. You know, I feel really bad for some of these churches and say, well, we're a New Testament church. We don't even read out of the Old Testament. Well, then they're not telling you God's word, because Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. Jesus was speaking about the Old Testament. So I believe it's really important that we follow at least what Jesus said and how we should study his word. So that's important. That's what we're going to be doing Sunday morning. So I want to invite you to tune in as we watch together, we listen together here on CSN. You can watch it live, Facebook, to Every Man an Answer. You can go there, or you can also go to River Christian Fellowship, and you can find us live audio streaming as well. Let's go back to the phones. We had Kim on the line. And, you know, Kim, you were talking a little bit about freedom of speech and Thomas Jefferson. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So I was really surprised to find that book at the library. And since our country was founded on all Judeo-Christian principles,
yes,
the only reason that they put freedom of religion in the Constitution, because at the time there were a lot of different Christian denominations that were fighting over, you know, their doctrines and dogmas. And so they said, well, we can solve this. Let's just put freedom of religion in there. It wasn't, you know, freedom of religion for Buddhism, and it wasn't freedom of religion for Islamism. It was freedom of religion for Christianity, for those that believe in the Bible and the divinity of Jesus.
Yeah, and I think that can be easily exemplified in not only in other Thomas Jefferson's writings, but also in many other foundational books concerning our country, how important it was that people recognized, and for many years, the textbooks that were used in school for reading was the Bible. And I think this is why, again, America is so horribly gone off the rails, because we've allowed ourselves to become indoctrinated with so many different idealisms. Relativism has been taught in the colleges as if it's a religion. True is true only if it's true to you. Right isn't really all that right. Wrong isn't really all that wrong. It's just how you look at it. Well, there's no country in the world, no legal system in the world that can sustain liberalism. No one can sustain that kind of mentality of universalism, where bad is only bad and how you look at it. The Bible tells us what's bad. And this is why we know what is acceptable and not acceptable, because you have to have a premise or a foundation for how you're going to do anything. This is why you have the universal building code, so people aren't building on 4-foot centers. Well, that's why. Because if you don't have some kind of a foundational book to go back to, you won't know if something is being built wrong or not. Well, their idea then is to change the foundational teachings of our country to cross-dressing, all these different things. Well, here's the question. Can a society sustain itself with that kind of mentality? No, it can't. And it won't. And this is one of the great problems. Real quick, Shannon, your thoughts.
Actually, I have nothing else to add to that.
Okay, well, Kim, I hope that answers it for you.
Well, I just wanted to say one more thing, that Abraham Lincoln learned to read reading from his Bible.
Yep.
And that's how he memorized all sorts of different scriptures. And somebody said to him, well, what, you know, Christian group do you belong to? And he says, well, I don't belong to any. And they said, how is that possible? You're always quoting scripture from the Bible. And he says, because I don't believe in dogma and doctrine, but he says, I do believe in the Bible.
Yeah, and that's right. And, you know, I really have read many of Abraham Lincoln's speeches. And, man, I'll tell you, sometimes when I read his stuff, I cry. I don't know whether it's when he wrote some of the things he wrote. He said one time in the middle of the Civil War, he said, if there's a place lower than hell, I'm in it. I thought that was an interesting statement, but that explains this great man and watching a nation being torn apart over an issue that should never have been slavery. And you look at all of this that went on, the Democrats pushing slavery, wanting to hold on to slavery, Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, who was doing everything he could do to bring freedom to everybody, not only black people, but any other ethnic group that was a slave. And it's really sad today that that's all been scrubbed from our history books, that the Democratic Party was really the party of slavery. They are. That's not a question of if. They are. But you see, all of our textbooks all been rewritten. The American news media in the tank with the deep state. Almost all your politicians taking bribes. Hunter Biden is only a minuscule part of what's really going on in Washington. Where you see all these people, they go into office and their net worth is like $500,000, counting their house, and they leave office multi-millionaires. How did you make all that money? You didn't make it from the wages that you were being paid for to be a senator or somebody in the House. No, there was all kinds of fal-de-ral and fiddly-dee going on. Sometimes it gets to the point where not even the American news media can hide it anymore, and it finally gets exposed, and you'll see some politician leave office with their tail between their legs. But bribing officials, I've got a book on the Old West. And it's interesting when you read about this, it lists the people by name, some of these judges. And some of these outlaws would rob the stagecoaches. And if they got caught, they would then pay the judge with the money that they stole to let him go.
That still happens today.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. This is what a lot of people wonder about, what's going on right now in Los Angeles with the prosecuting attorney letting all these criminals go. Crime that is absolutely so horrendous, and he won't prosecute. Well, why? This paves the way for organized crime in the stratosphere. And so you pay for a guy to get in as your prosecuting attorney. You pay him well so he won't go after any of the organized crime. Man, that is sweet business. Yeah, and they're going to pay for eternity over that kind of stuff. And this is what we're seeing. And I believe this is, again, you watch Joe Biden committing quid pro quo, saying that if you don't fire, told the Ukrainian president, if you don't fire your prosecuting attorney, you will get that $1 billion of American aid. Really? Well, what was the prosecuting attorney doing? He was investigating his son over the money laundering with the gas oil deal that they all know is true. Nothing happens to him. They accused Trump of that. The Democrats impeached him over an alleged quid pro quo. And Joe Biden, on videotape, confesses to it. Nothing happens. Nothing happened to Hunter either.
Well, there's no justice in the justice system.
And that's why people are, why I think people get angry. I think this is why a lot of the people in the streets in Washington, the first part of January, were so angry, because there's two sets of standards. You, anybody else, you do a crime, you go to jail. These guys commit murder, do all kinds of things. Nothing happened. They don't even get a slap on the wrist. Do you think people don't notice that? Well, they do. You see, Governor Newsom in public with no mask on, yet he's violating the very mandate mask law that he helped form and pass, but he's above that. Nancy Pelosi going in to get her hair done, no mask on. Well, I was set up. No, you weren't. You were breaking the law, Nancy, but nothing happens to you. See, but anybody else, oh, they'll shut your business down. They'll let hardened criminals out of jail, which they're doing right now in California, letting hardened criminals go in the name of COVID-19 and putting business owners that won't comply to the goofy rules because these guys are trying to save their businesses. They're putting the business owners in jail in place of the hardened criminals. Wow, that's some kind of sweet justice. No, it's not. It's crime. And again, I don't know what's going on with Los Angeles, but I believe the sheriff department, everybody else ought to really look at this guy and find out where. Well, the words of Amir Safadi said, follow the money. Just look and see where they're getting their money and what they're doing with it. That's going to give you a pretty good idea what's going on. Hope that helps, Kim.
It does. It does. One other thing I wanted to mention, had you ever read the book Ben-Hur?
I saw the movie years ago.
Called Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. It was written by General Lew Wallace, who was a Civil War general.
Yes.
And who was personally responsible in the Battle of Monocacy from keeping our capital from falling into Confederate hands. And if that had happened, the Union would have lost the Civil War. And so he went with a force of 8,000 men against 15,000 Confederates and held them off long enough so that they could get reinforcements to the Capitol. And not only that, he was a sculptor, a painter, a violinist. He made violins. There's a study and museum in Indiana, the Lew Wallace Museum and study, and you can go visit it. And he was just an amazing guy. And he's so amazing that he was governor of New Mexico and Billy the Kid surrendered to him. So this guy, General Lew Wallace, and that's spelled L-E-W-W-A-L-L-A-C-E, was just an amazing American. And if it hadn't been for him, heck, the Union might have lost.
Well, that's the way it is. You know, Charles, I have found this many times all the way through the Bible. You look at and see what one person did in a situation, whether it was Noah, whether it was Moses, the difference one person makes to influence the lives of others. And I want to tell everybody listening, you're that one person. You're that one person. So with God's help, let God raise you up, use you in those ways, and you're going to be the one that's blessed. Kim, I want to thank you for calling. Again, I want to say this too. I know some of the Battle of the South, some of it wasn't all over slavery. Some of it was states' rights. And in that, I agree with the South concerning states' rights. But the slavery issue had to go. It should have never been in the first place. But again, slavery was globally. England was the number one slave traders in the world at that time. Most of the slaves that came to the United States came through the English. Thank God that got eradicated. But it's still practiced still to this day in many places in the world. Kim's Tale Alliance sending you out a couple books, couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Charles, Oklahoma City. Hi, welcome.
Hey, you have to give me a moment because I'm so thankful that I caught your broadcast in my car. And I wanted to call and just say this. This is something that I'm dealing with. I met the Lord in 1973. I had an encounter with Christ in my car, and that's where he changed my life. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I belong to him. Okay? Now, I'm in my 60s. I was called into the ministry. I've pastored a church. I've been a professional in the airline industry, and so many things have happened. What happened was, at some point in time, I fell into drugs, which controlled my life, my whole family, my kids. It just went right through the whole family. It destroyed everything. For 4 years, I lost my home. I ended up homeless. I was a caretaker. And what happened was I was charged for neglect. My life got right with the Lord again back in 2014. My heart's been right with God ever since.
Wonderful.
But I was charged with a felony. And people, when they find that out, they judge me because they don't know the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I fell short in some areas, but I had to take the blame because I'm the head of the household. I'm not going to let anything happen to my family. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
I had a brother-in-law that lived with me that he got out of prison, and I took him into my home to help him because he was a felon, and that was the worst thing I could have ever done.
Yeah, the Bible says be very careful of the company you keep, and when you give your sovereignty, your home, to people that really don't care, it can be very, 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 very devastating. Shannon, you know, I know that you've had experience in your life, not you personally, but people close to you that have gotten into drugs and felonies and things like this and drug dealing.
Yeah, Charles, it's I feel for you, and I personally can connect with your story on the other side of the coin with my ex-husband who was a drug addict and became extremely, you know, abusive and neglectful, and there's a lot to unpack there. But the damage that our actions take in our life, it's not just something that sometimes damages us immediately and then goes away. Sometimes there's long-time repercussions for our actions, and it does affect our family. And, you know, he lost his family and ended up trying to commit suicide and survived that somehow and isn't in a mental institution, which he should be, but is in a halfway home, and he struggles with mental illness and is now, you know, seeking and attempting to find the Lord, but still struggles every day with what he had done and the ramifications of the effects on his body from his actions and his poor choices. And where none of us are absolved or, you know, can say that we aren't going to fall in some way. There's a lot of really good Christians who stumble and fall. You know, and the Bible says, so be humbled under God's powerful hand, then he will lift you up when the right time comes. And sometimes we need to fall and we need to be humbled so that he can lift us up because he cares for us. And it is difficult because when you do have a felony or you have a misdemeanor or something like that, automatically people want to judge you. But let's not forget about Saul, who then became Paul, whose entire purpose was to seek out and torture and murder Christians. And he wrote most of the New Testament. So as Mike said, how one man can change the world, really. I mean, the scriptures that are God-breathed through Paul, and you look at what happened in his life, what more can he do through you? You know, we also need to understand there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible says, that there's no condemnation. Condemnation is a negative spirit. There's conviction, which comes from the Holy Spirit, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And no reason for you to live in condemnation or to constantly be guilted into something because of maybe a past mistake, but to take this weakness that you had in the flesh and turn it around to be used for the power of God is a beautiful and amazing thing. And really use what you've gone through as a testimony so that you can reach others. You're never going to be able to control what people think about you when they hear about your past, but you can control the power of your testimony through the power of the Holy Spirit and who you reach through that. And so walk in the Spirit more than the flesh. Understand that, yes, you're weakened by your flesh, but you're empowered by the power of God through your redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's that power that you're to walk in now and to go and preach the gospel, minister to people. Don't forget what God called you to do in ministry. And though you've fallen, that's why he died on the cross for our sins, so that he can cover us with his blood, so that we are redeemed for our past, present, and future sins. But don't allow anyone to keep you under the thumb of condemnation, and a lot of believers will do that. But also, take your thoughts captive and pray for spiritual gifting so you might discern spirits and make wise decisions, have wisdom, knowledge, and discernment and understanding so that you don't surround yourself with people who might have familiar spirits or familiar pasts that can lead you down a road of temptation to cause you to sin or make a mistake again. But my heart feels for you, and I understand, you know, every tear that you're crying and the shaking in your voice. don't be subject to that demonic accusation from the devil that you're not worthy or you've fallen and you don't have a place in ministry, that people condemn you. Be empowered and realize what God is going to do through you, through the decisions you made, though they might have been a fault, to minister to other people. Mike.
Amen. I hope that helps, because you know all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And this is why I believe the Bible tells us, you know, you look at this guy that was in 1 Corinthians and he had some kind of a strange relationship with his stepmother. And Paul says, put this guy out of the church. You guys are patting yourselves on the back. You're so loving and you accept this guy. But this guy's really, really, you know, being very evidently, I don't know whether he was lipping on her,
promiscuous,
you know,
or
had his arm around her, or who knows what he was doing. But whatever it was, Paul says, this guy's not good. Well, he repents, and we find him back in the church in 2 Corinthians. So what I'm saying, Charles, I don't care what anybody's ever done. God's willing to forgive. How many times? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. And what Jesus is saying there is not 490 times, and the next time off with your head. He's saying as often as a person is willing to seek forgiveness, we have to forgive, because we find sometimes some sins are really hard to get out of. But you need to just simply realize that God loves you, and God's going to use you in spite of those things. And think of the experience that you've gone through to tell somebody younger, hey, I've been down that bunny trail, and it doesn't pay. It's awful. It's terrible. So, Charles, I hope that helps you.
May I say one thing, please?
Sure.
I just want to encourage everybody that's listening that when I went through all this, and I have a testimony that I can bring it to the glory of God, mm-hmm. and I've been humbled, I want to say this. That when you become a child of God, God never forsakes you.
Mm.
That Jesus, by his Spirit, has been with me all these years that I've walked with him.
Yep.
And I just have to get through this mark. Mm. I was trying to figure out how to deal with it, but I know how to deal with it now. And I thank you so much that I'm not going to let that stop me, but I'm going to take what I went through to tell people that you can be free from addictions.
Amen.
That Christ needs to be in your life. And when he is in your life and you walk with him and you read that word and you pray, your whole life is changed. God's word changes you.
Amen.
And I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. Mm. And I want to thank God publicly for never taking his hand off me, because he has restored my family. And he's given me a beginning. The beginning is so small. And what I lost, I still gain Christ, and that's what matters more than anything.
And Charles, that is the bottom line for all of it. You know, it really is that you know, we're all going to go through stuff. But, you know, again, going back to Jesus and though you forgot God, and some of you listening, you've forgotten God, God's not forgotten you.
Amen.
And so I believe that God will continue to work in your life. Charles, I thank you for your testimony and the encouragement. And Lord, I pray that we encourage you and that you would just bless him and cause friends to be around him that love you and encourage him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think we have time for one more call. Erica, Palm Springs, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
My question is, when the Antichrist rises to power and he forces everyone to receive the mark of the beast,
yes.
Do you believe there will be anyone who takes the mark out of ignorance, or will everyone be fully aware of the decision they are making?
I believe it'll be fully aware. You have two angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning people on the earth not to take the mark. You have 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams, basically evangelists, out there doing God's work. You have the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem warning the people of the earth as well. And a pastor friend of mine that really helped me a lot in my life, he said something really amazing. I never forgot it. He said, the mark of the beast is on the heart a long time before it eventually shows up on the hand or on the forehead.
Mm.
I believe that 100%. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. And that is true. I think it's a cognitive decision that everyone makes. No one's going to be tricked into getting it. And it's evident from the word of God that, and Mike said it perfectly, it's on the heart long before it's on the hand or the forehead. So I don't want anyone to think that if they're left behind, or maybe you're listening and you haven't given your life over to the Lord, that it's something that you're going to be unaware of. Definitely is going to be something you're fully aware of, or people are fully aware of. So,
Mike. Hope that helps, Erica.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica.
Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. We're all out of time, everyone. I don't know why that goes by. That goes by so fast. Look forward to being with all of you Sunday morning, 10:30 here on CSN Mountain Time. Look forward to being that. And then also Shannon's program, 3 o'clock Mountain Time on Sunday as well. And if you're able to be here in person, love to see you here. 10 o'clock Sunday morning, follow the signs to Shoshone Falls, and you'll find us. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.